Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, Israelis are starting to protest the lockdowns. Israel is in its third lockdown. It has been extended to the end of January. And what is happening around the world in other countries, of course, is happening here as well. That's what happens when you lock down your people, when people cannot open their businesses, cannot run their businesses, where a government decides who is chiyuni or who is essential and who is non-essential. And does the government have the right to do so? Well, we're going to be talking about that today on the show. And I saw a very good meme online that I just shared on my wall on Facebook. And it really gets you to think. And it says the following. If you allow the government to break the law in an emergency, they will create emergencies to break the law. I want to repeat that. If you allow the government to break the law in an emergency, they will create emergencies to break the law. That's what we're going to be talking about on the show today. Feel free to call in. This is a live show if you're listening on Monday morning, a beautiful morning here in Israel, between 7 to 8 a.m., or if it's between midnight to 1 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time on Sunday night going into early Monday morning, it means that we are live as well. You can call into the show. You can always write me with your comments and feedback at Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And I would be interested in what you have to say about these things. I know that the coronavirus, this thing that's going around the world, the pandemic, is something to worry about. Many people have died from it, and some people have had close calls with it. However, the majority of the people, over 99% of the people who get the corona survive it. And most of them survive it without any long-lasting problems afterwards. Now they're giving out vaccines, and that's a personal choice whether you want to try that or not, something that's so new. Maybe it's a gift from God, I don't know, and maybe it's something that we should be a little bit more careful about doing research about before we decide that if this is right for us and our family. We'll be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, so Israelis are starting to protest the lockdowns. We are experiencing the same things that other people around the world are experiencing when their governments lock their people down. Now, I have to say, I've done pretty much a complete flip-flop when it comes to lockdowns. The first time that we had a lockdown when corona was new, we didn't know anything about it. We were frightened to death from all of the news that was coming out about it, seeing videos of people dropping dead in the middle of the street. These were horrifying things. It was the first time that any of us, I believe, or most all of us, were ever alive during a plague like this that went global. And it was the first time experience a pandemic. We didn't know what to expect, and we were just told that this was a deadly, terrible disease. So at first, I was all for the lockdown. I thought other people who were disrespecting it were endangering the lives of other people. I would think myself that if, God forbid, somebody got the virus because I was too loose when I went out, what would happen? But as we live, we learn. And I have come to see that it is not, in my opinion, the best thing for a country to force lockdowns on its people. I'm of the opinion now, today, that someone who is afraid for their health, someone who's older, someone who has pre-existing conditions, or anyone who is afraid of getting the virus, those people should voluntarily stay away from other people, stay indoors, stay in your own garden, don't go out and do things, and protect yourselves. But let the rest of the people get on with their lives, because we've seen that 99%, over 99% of the people who get corona survive it. And in fact, it's not really that bad. Now, for some people, it is. Some people have died from it. Some people have had terrible experience with it. However, it is destroying countries, economies, people's livings. I'm of that opinion today. I'm going to be interviewing someone now who's going to be talking to us about a movement that he is leading that is just starting now here in Israel, where the Israelis are starting to protest the lockdowns. His name is Ezra Gilbert. He's the co-organizer of the Parents and Children protest, because this is affecting children as well, against closure of the school system and expressing the agony of families suffering from corona lockdowns. I want to remind all of our listeners that the majority of Israelis in Israel live in apartments. They don't have suburbia houses with gardens that they can go out to with a backyard and a swing set. Many people do, but the majority live in apartments. There's no place for their kids to go really and play unless it's outside. Now, Ezra, our guest, made Aliyah from New Jersey in the United States 12 years ago. He's married, the father of 5 children from 5 through 15. He's a software engineer, and he lives in the Lower Galil, or the north of Israel. So I want to welcome to the show Ezra Gilbert.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. All right, Ezra, I don't hear you too well. Can you speak a little bit closer to your phone or microphone?
Yep. Is this better?
Much better. All right. So you have started some type of protest now with other Israelis who are just, they've had it. This is our third lockdown. And tell us about exactly what you're doing, how this started.
Okay. So basically, we're a group of parents. None of us really have protested before, but as you described your own views evolving since this crisis started a year ago, the same has happened to us. And, you know, we've been suffering, but we've also been learning. And so basically, Reut put out a call. She's our founder, and she's a Ministry of Health certified therapist.
Ezra, I'm losing you.
Reut, who is a Ministry of Health certified therapist, put out a call for parents and children to come protest the situation. And right away, I decided this is something I need to do. It's much better than Zoom school. I could teach my kids about democracy and freedom of speech, and hopefully we can start a movement to make a change. And so our very first protest was March for families through Sachar Park in Jerusalem, and we marched to the Knesset. We started out the morning making signs. Parents with kids brought cardboard boxes and colored markers, and we sat in the grass in the sun, and we made whatever signs, everybody protesting whatever particular aspect of how corona is being managed was hurting them, with a very strong focus on the kids and a very strong focus on returning them to school. And we marched right to the entrance of the Knesset. It was all with police approval, and it was really powerful.
And okay, so there's no the violence. There's no violence. There was no violence there.
Of course not. No, this is parents and children, little kids. My 5-year-old was there marching with us, as were teenagers, kids of all ages. mothers and fathers. And we were chanting, "Let us live. No to Zoom. Yes to life. No
Did
to coercion."
Did any politicians come out to greet you, to speak with you?
Unfortunately, no. It was relatively quiet that Tuesday morning at the Knesset. But in this day and age, it matters less, you know, who sees you on the spot, more how you're presented in the media and how your message gets out. So
was there media there?
There were photographers and a video was put out. There was information put out on Israel National News. We were then interviewed on Channel 13 News. So the message is getting out. That was the first protest. And since we've had more, and we're planning more.
All right. So Channel 13 News here in Israel did come out and interview you. Did they put you on the news? Did they play the tape?
They did. They didn't come to the protest. They interviewed us before the second protest in Tel Aviv. And they allowed us to get the message out and invite other parents and kids to come out with us. And in fact, the second protest was much bigger in a much more central location. It was in Habima Square in the center of Tel Aviv, where on a Friday morning, you have hundreds of families. It was a beautiful day this past Friday, January 22nd. Lots of people sitting out in the sun. We had at least 100 people come again with their kids, with signs. And there were hundreds of people all around our stage. We're lucky enough that one of our 9 parents that are organizing it is out of work because of Corona, professional event planner. And so she pulled out all the stops. We had a stage with loudspeakers and a band and very organized. And all of the hundreds of people all around us were listening to our message. And after the speakers, we marched down Rothschild Boulevard. This was actually the first time my kids and I were ever on Rothschild Boulevard. So if you imagine a tree-lined boulevard with kind of a central island with playgrounds and benches and lots of grandparents and families and kids, and lots of people heard our message, and we saw it was resonating with them. We were getting thumbs up. People were even joining in with the march. It was really a great experience.
Did you get any backlash at all?
There was a little bit of backlash. Our focus is very much, like I said, on the children and positive messages and getting them back to school. Because we think that that's something that everybody can unite around. But I happen to have a sign which is against the way PCR testing is being used and the redefinition of what it means to be sick. As we all know, growing up, it used to be you were sick. You felt bad. It was clear you had all sorts of symptoms, and this is the first time really where a laboratory test that was mostly used for research until now is being, in my opinion, misused and inflating all of the numbers of how many people are sick and, in fact, how many people unfortunately died from corona because the test is not being used correctly. So I have a sign saying that a positive test does not mean that you're sick, and with the word PCR crossed out. And of course, I'm not saying that the test has no value, but you asked about backlash. So there were a couple of probably science students, you know, who were kind of self-appointed experts on PCR, who came up to me at the end and said they really didn't like my sign. And, you know, ultimately they agreed with me. They agreed that the PCR test is not being used correctly, but, you know, they focused on the detail of, well, how can I say we shouldn't use it? And I explained to them, I'm not saying we shouldn't use it. I'm saying exactly what the World Health Organization, they finally, after 10 months, they just changed their message on January 20th, the day Biden was inaugurated. And they said the PCR is not being used correctly. They need to make sure that they're using the correct cycle count. And it's not enough just to tell people whether you're positive or negative, but it needs to present with clinical symptoms, and a doctor needs to decide, and that's going to change everything, and we're going to see the numbers go down. And in my opinion, and I'm not a medical expert and I'm not a scientist, but I am somebody who's been studying this for months, a lot of the fear and the magnitude of what was called and what is still called a pandemic has to do with this improper use of testing. And many doctors and scientists agree. So I got into a little bit of a discussion with them, but otherwise the acceptance has been overwhelmingly positive. Almost every parent agrees.
Okay, Ezra, hold it right there. We have to go to a break. When we get back, I want to ask you about your trust in the government and your future plans of building the movement and where it's going to go. We'll be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
At the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're speaking with Ezra Gilbert. Ezra Gilbert is not a political activist. He's a software engineer that lives in the north of Israel in a nice little suburban community, and he has gotten up off of his feet. He says enough is enough with other Israelis who are tired of these lockdowns, who see the damage that they believe is taking place in their own families with their children having to learn off of a screen and not in a classroom, not being able to play with friends, not being able to go to the playgrounds during lockdowns, and people not being able to make a living, all when we see that perhaps the government isn't dealing with this pandemic in the smartest and most efficient way. And so we're talking to him about that. And Ezra, I wanted to ask you, do you believe that the WHO, the World Health Organization, made this proclamation that they're not going to be doing testing the same way, and it happened to be when Joe Biden was being inaugurated, not when Donald Trump was the president? Do you think that was a political decision?
So I just want to say that our protest is apolitical, and we draw people of all stripes and backgrounds. And I don't want to get too much into theories about why things are happening, because we really don't know. And it's just, you know, what do people think and feel? But my personal opinion is absolutely. I've seen that what really should be pure science and pure medicine is very much influenced by politics and economics and the finance. That's my opinion. I'm sorry to say, but I think many people are starting to feel that as well.
And what about trust in one's government? You know, before you came on the air, I read out a meme that was really hit a chord with what we're experiencing today. And it says, if you allow the government to break the law in an emergency, they will create emergencies to break the law. And a lot of people here in Israel are feeling that the government has no right to say who is essential and can keep their businesses open and go to work and who is not. And people are losing their livelihoods. They're losing businesses that perhaps were in their family for generations. They're losing their workers. Their employees can't make a living. People are really suffering. As you said, also, children can't go to school. This is very detrimental for children's psyches as well. Again, I've done a complete switch as what I thought in the beginning. So where would you take all of this?
I've also done a complete switch, and we definitely feel like the crisis is being mismanaged. Whether the government has a right, like you in the beginning, I think most people felt if this was really an Ebola kind of pandemic, we're willing to sacrifice certain liberties temporarily until we understand and, you know, figure out what's the best way to save people. But at this point, I think many people are waking up and realizing that we've gone down a slippery slope. We've gotten into a very bad place. Everybody is suffering. Kids are suffering. It's going to affect their future. Depression, God forbid, suicides. It's destroying, like you said, families and businesses. And I think people are losing trust in their government. And I think, you know, Israel's trying to portray a positive message of, you know, we're leading the world in handling the situation. But in fact, we see other countries like Sweden that handled it completely differently, and the results are not very different. And so it doesn't seem like it's worth all the costs. And I think people are realizing that if they don't get up and speak out, this is not really going to get better. It's been getting worse, and it's been lockdown after lockdown. They're already talking about a fourth lockdown. The kids have hardly been in school at all. They don't see their friends. And it's just damaging society in unmeasurable ways.
I want to read something that actually you posted yourself on Facebook, because I did go to your Facebook page before the show to check it out. And you had an article there that was written by Hananya Weissman. I'm going to read some of it out. I'd like you to stop me at any time and comment, all right? He writes here, I also want to emphasize that for many months I was very makpid, which is, how would you translate that in English? Careful,
diligent,
yes, on masks. But as I learned more, I modified my views accordingly. Here is a summary of what I have learned from the coronavirus. One, masks are not only ineffective in stopping the spread of COVID, and they are not only dehumanizing, but they can cause respiratory illnesses and weaken the immune system. Comment? Or should I go on?
You can continue. I agree.
Okay. I want to say here also about dehumanizing. I saw something also going around on online that was talking about the use of masks in cultures and how they were used to demean people, to show a status. And also for women, if you look at the Islamic society, of those that did make women cover their faces like a mask, it was to dehumanize them, to make them second-class citizens. So that was very interesting. I never put those two together before. All right, two, lockdowns are a horrible, destructive measure and ineffective in stopping the spread of COVID. Remember, stop me at any time. Three, the vaccine should not even be called a vaccine. It is an experimental biological treatment. The science surrounding this is far from conclusive, and it is potentially extremely harmful while offering minimal temporary benefits at best. Young people and healthy people should not take it under any circumstances. I want to say here, he's not a doctor. You all have to speak with your own doctors and decide what is best for you. Again, stop me whenever you want.
I'll just say, while I personally agree with what Rabbi Weissman is saying, you know, I'm not anti-vaccine, and our protest is not anti-vaccine, but we are against coercion. And I don't know if he talks about the green passport, but that was really the major issue that got me off my couch and got me into the streets and protesting. I don't know if your listeners are familiar, but that is the biggest attack on liberty, and that's going to cause so much damage in society, creating second-class citizens. And that's something that I will not stand for.
Okay, so the green passport is basically anyone who has shown that they've gotten their two vaccines, they will get, or they're supposed to. I don't think it exists yet. Does it exist yet, or they're just talking about it?
I have neighbors that have been told from their HMO, their health organization, that they can get it already. There's a form on the Ministry of Health to apply to get it. And so it's being rolled out quietly, and it's going to stop people from didn't get vaccinated from going to restaurants, going to malls, going to public places, and they're going to let businesses decide. Who do you let into your business? There's already employers like Hadassah Hospital or the Israeli firemen who told their employees, the hospital said, don't come to work if you're not vaccinated. You know, take a unpaid leave of absence at your own expense. And the firemen said, if you don't get vaccinated, you can't attend courses and you will not be promoted. And so that's what got me up out of my seat.
So are you protesting that also when you do these protests?
So our protest focuses on the children, the effect on the children, and anyone who attends can protest whatever aspect of the corona management strategy that hurts them most. And so, yes, I personally am protesting that. I have a sign against the green passport, but you're not going to hear our main speakers talking too specifically about coercion, because we do want to focus on the children. We do want to focus on the positive message, but that will absolutely affect the kids too. Imagine what is going to happen when you have some kids whose families can go out to restaurants, can go to movies, and others that cannot. It's against all bioethics, and we're just slipping because of the fear. And that's really one of our major messages is, unfortunately, we're no longer debating science and data. It's emotional, and people are afraid, and we need to help people not be afraid, and we need to make them realize that if they keep being afraid, their kids and their families are going to keep suffering.
All right, and let me read this last thing here before we go. Hydroxy, I don't even want to say the whole word because we might get banned, and I'd like to put this up on YouTube, but we'll see. And ivermectin are safe, established, highly effective treatments, he writes. And when administered early, render COVID essentially harmless and a minor nuisance. They are far better options than this experimental biological device, which is, he means the vaccine. It's not even a contest. That's what he says. Again, I want to remind everybody, speak with your own medical professional. In the last few seconds that we have, we only have like 30 seconds. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that many doctors in Israel won't prescribe them. And it's a big problem because we can be treating people and keeping them out of hospitals.
I believe we can. And I believe that Dr. Zelenko's treatment has really helped so many people. I want to thank you so much, Ezra, for coming on the show. Where can people find you?
On Facebook, we have a group called Mecha'at Hahorim VeHayeladim. Please join us. We'd like to make videos of kids talking about how corona is affecting them, and we will continue to get out and protest, and we'd love to have you join us.
All righty. And I will try to leave a link where that is. It's in Hebrew, everybody, just warning you, for those who don't know Hebrew. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Ezra.
Thank you for having me.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.